Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. Lord Nelson saves the day as Reading claims just a second win in 16 matches to move out of the relegation zone ahead of a trip to promotion chasing Sheffield United. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined as ever by the Working in Papers, Tom Crocker. How's it going, Tom?
Yeah, all good from that last gasp drama, I think, on Wednesday night. It wasn't quite looking that way at half-time, but I think everyone's still pretty happy after that one now.
Yeah, feeling very, very relieved after Nelson Oliveira's 86. It wasn't quite that dramatic, but 86-minute winner against Blackburn Rovers. I mean, just a huge, huge result, really. I mean, we might not have played the greatest football or put in the best performance, but I think really, in the position that we're in at the moment, I think it's really the results that matter. I mean, I don't know how much pressure would have been on this Sheffield United game anyway, but I think getting those 3 points against Blackburn makes me worry a little bit less about what happens at Bramall. I mean, it's not quite a free hit at the weekend, Tom, but obviously we are now in a much better position and out of the relegation zone.
Yeah, in fairness, I was going to use the word free hit, to be fair, but just because of the massive 3 points and the draw they got before and the three games that we all know that are coming afterwards are the big three, really. But yeah, now they're at the bottom three, they can go there with a bit less pressure. And I think the way the game panned out against Blackburn the first half, I was pretty worried, to be honest. And for the first 45 minutes until the goal, it was a really, really poor performance, and it looked like they'd gone backwards in some ways from how they had been playing. But yeah, as soon as they got the goal, it looked like a bit more confidence. And like you said, it doesn't particularly matter too much how they're playing. They ground it out. Second half was a much more even game, I think, a better display from Reading. And despite conceding the equaliser, that was obviously another worry, and they've come a bit over from that. And they've got a quality striker now who can score out of pretty much nothing. So to have him in your team, Oliveira, and to get the goal late on, it's such a massive, massive boost for everyone. It felt like a really big moment on Wednesday night with such a late goal. It was a great atmosphere towards the end of the game.
I mean, I said at the top of the show that Oliveira sort of saved the day. I mean, he really did, to be honest, because I think, obviously, Yaki Mato missed a couple of decent chances, and Blackburn also let Reading off the hook a little bit. Certainly in that first half, I think not being clinical enough themselves. I mean, especially, I think everyone, as you mentioned, was astonished, really, that we had the lead at half time, because Blackburn should have been, you know, at least 1-0 in front, you know, probably even 2 or 3 themselves. But I think, you know, it's probably safe to say that we can't rely on that happening again against Sheffield United, who are one of the most clinical sides in the division. Just under 8 shots per goal is their record, which is actually only bettered by Norwich and West Brom. For comparison, Reading's record is just under 11 shots per goal, which puts them 19th in the Championship. So very little room for error against the Blades, Tom, and certainly room for improvement in terms of taking our chances.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking during that first half as well. Is if they play like this on Saturday, they're going to be well out of the game by half time. They gave Blackburn, it was just sloppy play really that gave Blackburn the chances. They didn't have to do too much for it, and you worried that if you're playing a better side that they'd blow them away, Reading. And it was a strange situation, having drawn obviously a couple of games, or 3 games in a row, was it 2 or 3 in a row?
Yeah, 3 in a row, yeah.
3 in a row, yeah. So then you look at it, and it's if you win that fourth game, it's a pretty good run. If you lose it, it's a pretty bad run. And the way they were going in the first half, it looked like they were going to be stuck in the bottom three. Obviously, the results the previous night went against them as well, so they would have been further in than they were before. And yeah, it was looking like a bit of a worry, to be fair, considering, like say, Sheffield United at the weekend. But yeah, hopefully they learn from that first half, because if they produce that again, they'll probably wolf on themselves behind, and hopefully this a bit of a one-off that they didn't get punished, and they can learn from it. And say, and I don't think any of them are under any illusions. They played well for the first 45 minutes and managed to get their noses in front. Like I say, the second half was much better. They played, as Josie would say, more towards their own process, as he likes to say. And I think they played much better after the restart. Blackburn still had a few chances, but yeah, I think Reading, like you say, Mate should have scored one or two, and they got the 2 goals and got across the line. Hopefully it's a big confidence boost to go into these big away games like Sheffield United at the weekend. And yeah, let's say they're still not conceding that many goals, so hopefully that's another big boost as well, that they are somehow managing to keep them out. Obviously quite a lot of it's down to Martinez at times, but to go there on the back of a few clean sheets recently will give them a bit of confidence, and hopefully Sheffield United maybe have a little bit of an off day in front of goal.
It's been quite a remarkable season for Sheffield United so far. Not really amongst the pre-season promotion favourites, really, but everything has gone right for them so far. Last night they beat Middlesbrough 1-0 to remain third in the championship, only 2 points behind the top two. I mean, in terms of stats, it makes for pretty horrific reading for Reading, really. But 5 home wins in a row for Sheffield United coming into this game, and they haven't conceded at home since Boxing Day. So nearly 2 months ago, they last conceded at Bramall Lane. Overall, they've actually only let in just 13 goals at home this season, and only Leeds have conceded fewer on their own patch so far this campaign. Of course, as well, they have the Championship's top scorer, Billy Sharp, still going strong at 33 years old, I think he is, and 22 goals this season, which is quite a remarkable feat for him. It comes as no surprise then that they are the favourites for this game at 4-9, according to Oddschecker, hashtag GamblerWare. The draw is 10-3, and Reading are 13-2. I mean, it's fair to say this will be one of Reading's toughest tests of the season so far, won't it?
Yeah, I think that's why I called it a free hit from all those stats you've just reeled off there. But yeah, I think especially in the, obviously the home game, Reading sort of threw it really. They sacrificed the game by sacking Clement two days before the game and throwing Scott Marshall in. And it looked like they might grind out a really scrappy point, but obviously letting a couple at the end. And Sheffield United, they did well for large parts of last season as well, and they're just carrying it on really, aren't they? So Ollie Norwood was brilliant in the game at Medeski. They've got George Baldock as well at wing back. I think he's had a really good season, looked good again when I watched them against Villa the other day. So so they got plenty of good players, and they all know the system and how they play, and they're picking up the results again. And like you say, Billy Sharp, top scorer in the league, he's always going to be a danger, and if he gets half of the sort of chance that some of the Blackburn players had, you'd no doubt put it in the back of the net. So yeah, it's going to be a really tough one. Obviously Gomez has had a few tough games. Obviously went to Old Trafford and played all right, and went to Derby and lost as well, but played not too bad in spells. But yeah, away at Sheffield United at the moment, it's one of the tougher ones. It's a good test for Reading, and if they can take anything from it, I'm sure everyone would snap your hand off for a point again, I think.
The counter that then, how do Reading approach this game? Obviously, I mean, as of yet, we haven't really seen them, you know, had to go away to many of the high-flying sides. Obviously, very nearly got a point at Leeds, but Mark McNulty missed his penalty there. And obviously, West Brom away was our joint heaviest defeat of the campaign at 4-1. But we haven't been away to Norwich yet. We haven't been away to Middlesbrough yet, or Bristol City. So, you know, I think it will certainly be Jose Gomez's toughest team. Yeah, you know, so it might well be interesting to see how he lines his team up.
Yeah, I think he probably will stick generally to the same sort of style of play and probably similar system as well. And I think the quality of the players Reading have got are good enough to give these teams a game. It's just obviously the teams at the top of the league are consistent enough to put these wins together and defend properly as a team. And I think it comes down to individual errors quite a lot of the time with Reading. We've seen even yesterday the chances they're giving away were just passing the ball straight to Blackburn most of the time. So you can go to these grounds and pick up the wins. I think in the position Reading are in, I think they've got a couple of draws away from home recently. They haven't lost that many away from home really when you consider where they are in the league. So they can go away and make games difficult. They also got a draw at Villa earlier in the season. They've been to some places and got some decent results. So yeah, like I said, there will be massive outsiders for it, but with some of the players they've got in there now, and I think Martinez and Oliveira, if those two are on song as they have been for the last few games, I think they've got a bit of a chance. But yeah, if you say no real surprise that Sheffield United will go into it as favourites, and you'd imagine they'll probably just about have enough to get the job done.
I mean, they don't tend to really get obliterated by sides, Reading. I mean, that 4-1 defeat to West Brom, really the only one, along with the 4-1 defeat to Swansea on New Year's Day. But I think that does show, and I think Reading's goal difference is minus 11 at the moment, which is quite a lot better than Rotherham, who's minus 20, Bolton, who's minus 26, and Ipswich, are minus 31. So I think certainly in that respect, if as long as Reading don't go and get heavily beaten at Bramall Lane, you know, I think their goal difference could well be a major factor if they are to stay up this season. No doubt Jose Gomez will have been studying Sheffield United in preparation for this game. And we are going to take a closer look at the Blades ourselves now in the view from the town end.
The view from the town end. What the opposition think?
View from the town end time now, and with Reading travelling to Sheffield United on Saturday this week, I'm joined by Blades fan Louis Hobbs. How's it going, Louis?
Yeah, really well, thank you.
Since we last spoke before the game between the two sides in December, obviously, which you guys won 2-0, Sheffield United really have gone from strength to strength. I think, you know, I will point out we're recording this before the midweek fixtures, in which Sheffield United have a crucial game against Middlesbrough. But sort of at the time of recording, you're third in the table and just 2 points off Leeds in second. what's been going so well, Anne, recently?
Well, I think, as with any club, whether you're in a top six battle, a top two battle, or even a relegation fight, the Christmas period is probably the hardest but most rewarding period.
Yeah.
And I think over that time, there's only Hull City that have accumulated more points than us. And just going off the Christmas period, if you can get back-to-back wins, it just shows how we've gone from, we had a bit of a shaky start, build up some form, and then it just shows, having a strong Christmas period, we don't look like falling out of the top six now. And yeah, there's still a third of the season to go, but you could probably put money on evens that we're going to get the top six now. And that's solely down to a fantastic run of form in the Christmas period.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask now sort of how, you know, obviously being third on the table, time recording, just 2 points off Leeds, I think, do you see yourselves catching potentially Leeds and Norwich? Obviously, you know, see, had you not let that 3-goal lead against Aston Villa slip last week, you would be in the top two right now, I suppose.
Yeah, it's in like the most unbiased way possible, I'll try and put this, but with how, I don't know if you watch much of us on the TV whenever we're on, but the football we've been playing this year is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And especially to the on paper side as we are, like on paper through their careers, you wouldn't class us as a top two team.
Mm.
You look at players even like Billy Sharp, as good as and as consistent as he has been in the Championship for the past 10 years, you would never stick him up top in a Premier League team, a lower half Premier League team, and that's what we're looking like. The thing that's really frustrating about being a Blades fan is if you watch the game against Villa,
yep,
for 80 minutes against Villa, we was unplayable. And Villa, you could have probably said that Villa will look it to be 3-0 down with how well we were playing.
Yep.
We had opportunities in the game to make it 5-6-7 if we really put full speed on. And I think that's happened way too much this season for us. There's only been two or three games this year where I've gone for the lane or I've watched the Blades on the road and thought we didn't deserve at least a point there. And it is the consistency we have, but also we do seem to have that consistency right at those crucial points,
yep,
to drop off. And I said to a lot of people before the Villa game, with how much stake we had on it, and we knew if we won at Villa Park, we'd have gone top of the table, only temporarily, but it would have still put the pressure on Norwich and Leeds to then they have to go and win.
Yep.
And a game similar to that was Swansea away only a couple of weeks ago. Norwich dropped points on the Friday, and if we were to win, we would have topped Norwich. And obviously we went and we played shockingly against Swansea and we dropped points there. And it just seems to be in those crucial points of the season where we can actually attack the teams above us. We just seem to be losing a peg, and maybe that is due to having a lack of experience in the team. You look, it's only really Ollie Norwood in our team who's got even a few Premier League minutes, and he hasn't got many.
Yeah,
I think in our entire team, the person with the most Premier League minutes is Chris Basham, and that's from what a season nearly 8 years ago now for when Blackpool were in the Premier League, and how long ago does that feel? So maybe it's just bringing that consistency. And I mean, Ollie Norwood must be massive in the changing room for this team, because we are still, and like you said, this time last season with pretty much the same group of players. Obviously, we've got Norwood, McGoldrick, but the core group is still the same.
Yep.
So that must just show how this season we'd have already tailed off, and I think we dropped down to about 7th or 8th this time last year, after being in that top four for such a long period of time.
Obviously, it is very hard to tell at the moment, but obviously, do you feel that if, you know, promotion isn't achieved this season, you know, there is a long-term plan in place for you to be up there again next season? Because obviously, history shows us that it really can go, you know, one of two ways. Obviously, Reading themselves fell right to the other end of the table after losing the playoff final in 2017, but plenty of teams bounced back for missing out on promotion, you know, sort of one season by going up the next one. But do you get a sense that, you know, that would be possible with Sheffield United next season? Obviously, you know, the club's on a massive upward curb at the moment, obviously, having won League One in 2017 and finishing 10th in the Championship last season.
Yeah, I mean, it's always in the back of your mind as if we don't, because this seems such a perfect time for us. We're playing such good football. It seems like we need, if this is our opportunity, we need to take it this year, because I can't see us. I don't really know how we can build on this year because of how well we're playing. And obviously with us having one of the lower budgets in the league, are we going to be able to buy the players to then build on it? But like I said, if there's any team that can build on a playoff loss, it probably would be us, especially with our manager. Chris Wilder just seems to be getting better and better every game, every season. He's upping our performances, he's getting the best out of players. The only worrying thing is Billy Sharp next year will be 34 years old. If we don't get up and we don't, even if we were to get up and we came rocketing straight back down, the parachute payments we would get from that would sustain us as a championship club at least for years to come.
That parachute payments argument was one of the key thoughts in my head 2 years ago when Reading were up there, that money is just so valuable. I think, and I think we were in a similar situation with you with Billy Sharp. Obviously, Jan Kermigan was 34 2 years ago as well, and was banging in the goals, and that was very much seen as his last chance to get into the Premier League. So you know, quite a few similarities there. Obviously, from your point of view, you'll hope it won't be quite the same as Reading going on to lose in the playoff final on penalties. But moving on to the weekend then, what did you make of Reading back in December? Have you seen much of us since then?
Yeah, I mean, it's Reading seems to just be one of the most, probably the most inconsistent team.
Yeah.
Because it seems you'll either 1 week, you'll put out a fantastic performance, maybe not even and get the win. But there's that disparity against your likes of Bolton and Ipswich, who all season have never really had glimpses of excellence. And they've never really looked like they're going to stay in the division. But then you have Reading at times do have the fight and do have the endeavour to push up in the league. And I don't see Reading getting relegated as well, I personally think Reading had one of the most stronger transfer windows. Obviously, I'm hoping Nelson Oliveira is okay. But the likes of, is it Miazga from Chelsea? Fantastic signing. Nelson Oliveira, Ajario, midfielder. Comparing it to like your Ipswich, Bolton, Rotherham, who haven't added at all hardly to their squads, Reading should have the capability to now push on and drift out of up the table, should I say. But I'm not sure whether with your manager.
Yeah.
I don't particularly know how you think of him and whether he's bringing the right style of football to your club.
I think he's made a very positive impact, I think, coming into the side. He seems to have lifted the mood around the place. And as you mentioned, that transfer window was just key for us. And I think you've echoed really what a lot of fans from around the division have said, that you know, a lot of these players, you know, might not have been signed by your Boltons and your Ipswich. And it's been a very impressive transfer window that I think has given us as best chance as possible of getting out of danger, I suppose. But as for yourselves, who should Reading fans look out for at the weekend? Who might be the key players? I mean, you mentioned both Sharp and Norwood so far.
Yeah, well, I've probably got to put out Scott Hogan there. I don't know what to expect for him. I mean, on paper, it's a fantastic signing, and he's got the writings of a Chris Wilder player through and through.
Yeah.
Coming through your non-leagues, your smaller divisions in Ireland, and working his way up, and now he's an out-and-out championship striker, and we're yet to see him in a Blade shirt, but I think Reading will, unless we risk him on Wednesday with Middlesbrough, but I think we're more likely to go with a Sharp Gary Medine partnership against Middlesbrough. So I think going on to Reading, it's very, very likely that Scott Hogan might even get his first start in a Blades kit. And that should hopefully be a dangerous one to be looking out for.
I mean, I think Hogan's, you know, fairly similar to Oliveira in the sense that he's got championship pedigree, I suppose, but not quite got that with his parent club with Aston Villa so far this season. And in the same sense, Oliveira's not got any game time with Norwich so far this season. So, I mean, yes, certainly with Brentford, he was a very, very good championship striker. So that's, yeah, I think that for me was also a very, very good addition I picked out from the division in the last few days of the window. But finally then, Louis, how do you see the game panning out? Can I get a score prediction for the weekend? For obviously, this is being recorded before the midweek fixtures.
Obviously, from a Blades perspective, it's a must-win game, and with it being at home as well, it should be a dominant win for us. I'm going to go the same result as last time, a 2-0 victory.
That's actually what I was going to say as well. Actually, I think an away game against a team fighting for promotion is really Reading's worst nightmare at the moment. So yeah, I was going to go with 2-0 to Sheffield United, but obviously we'll have to wait and see what the result for you guys is against Borough, and obviously we're playing Blackburn on Wednesday as well. But I mean, do you get the sense that collapse against Villa will have dented the squad's confidence, or is it a bit, you know, they aren't that sort of team?
Yeah, I don't think we're that sort of team at all. Forgetting last season where it did seem to fall apart, hopefully the Villa game wasn't a trigger at that, but this year, we've only lost two games on the bounce once, and that was the first two games of the season. So there is that part of us where we do have the ability to bounce back from a loss. And
yeah,
if it was only a 3-3 draw, when your captain's scoring a hat trick and you end up drawing the game 3-3, it feels, I'm sure you'll feel the same, it feels like a massive loss.
Yeah, for sure.
So going into, we definitely need a response against Middlesbrough, and I mean, the games can't really get much bigger for us if we are going to get a response. It's going to be a packed crowd at the Lane, and we need the 3 points if we are to go and challenge for the automatic spots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Reading have won just once so far away from home all season, so it would be a huge shock if we got all the 3 points. But my thanks then to you, Louis, for joining me on The View from the Town. And once again, all the best at the weekend and for the rest of the season.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/ The Tarlhurst End.
Team news time then, here on a Tarlhurst End weekend preview ahead of Sheffield United versus Reading. I mean, of course, one of the big talking points on Wednesday night, Tom, was the absence of Andy Rinomoto. What's the latest on him as well as the other absentees?
So he was due to have, I think, a scan or a test on today, Thursday, so we're not entirely sure yet, but it sounds like it's quite unlikely he's going to be involved at the weekend. He had an ankle injury and he was wearing a protective boot at Medeski last night, so it'll be, I think, a surprise to see him quickly recover in time to play on Saturday. He picked it up in the game last weekend at Sheffield Wednesday, so yeah, like I say, he missed the Blackburn game. Not too sure how long it might keep him out. If it keeps him out a while, it could be a bit of a problem, but yeah, I think apart from that, the rest of it is as you were. Really, nothing new, I don't think, from Wednesday night, and nobody really coming back. Just think it's four long-term ones, and then the rest of them are all perfectly fine to play if picked, I think.
I think that would be a big miss if Renamoto's out for a couple of weeks. I mean, in fairness, obviously we did get the win without him last night, but how much of that is to do with his absence, I'm not too sure. But I think in general, he was starting to fade a little bit. I mean, that might be a bit harsh, but I think potentially a rest, despite the fact that it was enforced, but I think a rest might have done him good, but still be good to see him back as soon as possible. With all that in mind then, what would your starting 11 be at Bramall Lane?
I think it seems to be getting a little bit easier to pick recently, which is always a good sign. So obviously the back five as they were, Martinez, Yadom, Miazga, Moore, Blackett. Then obviously the midfield without Renamoto is a bit of a trickier one. I would bring Baker in. I think he's a bit more physical than Liam Kelly, struggled a bit yesterday. So Baker and Ajaria and Swift, sort of as a three. I think you're going to have to do quite a bit of defending. So I think those three in there, rather than a sort of 3-1. And then Mate and Barrow I'd bring in on the wings. I think Mate did pretty well despite missing those chances. He changed the game a little bit when he came on in the second half, looked quite lively. So bring him in, and then Oliveira, if he's perfectly fine to go, obviously keeps his place as well. So I think that's maybe three changes from the other night, possibly. But yeah, Mate, Barrow and Baker always come in.
I more or less agree. I think, I'd agree. The back five, I really see no reason to disrupt that at the moment, because, you know, it's great to have some sort of consistency in there. I think that has been one of the key reasons for us improving defensively, as well as the additions of Martinez and Miasca, of course, which we'll come on to in a minute. But ahead of them in midfield, I'd go with John Swift and Lewis Baker in the holding role, which obviously isn't the ideal scenario. But with Renan Oter out, it probably is the best you're going to get at the moment. And then ahead of them, I'd have Callum Harriott and Mo Barrow coming in on the wings. And I'd actually give Yaku Mate a go in a number 10 role. Call me revolutionary, but you know, I mean, he missed a few chances, as you said, after coming on against Blackburn, but he did certainly give them more of an outlet going forward. And then Nelson Oliveira, obviously, up front. On the wingers, Tom, it was obviously interesting to see that Jose Gomez went with Omar Richards and Ovie Ejaria out wide on Wednesday. Of course, neither of whom are natural wingers, but neither of whom sort of really impressed either. I mean, you've gone with Mate and Barrow this time around, and I've gone with Harriott and Barrow, but I think really none of the wingers this season are sort of having that good campaigns. I think we've spoken about goal contribution a lot and how that's been lacking, but I think probably for me it is an area to improve upon in the summer.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I'll say in terms of numbers, there's plenty of them there, as there has been all sort of season, really. They've tried to chop and change it a little bit. I think Ajari has done fairly well there. I think on his debut, didn't he, played on the wing and looked good. So he can do a role out there, and he ended up playing defensive midfield last night. So he's quite a versatile player to have in the team. But yeah, Richards, I think he played quite a lot on the wing in youth days and things like that. But obviously for first team, we've only really known him as a left-back or a wing-back. And yeah, maybe that's pushing him forward there is helping to sort of double up on the left-hand side and not giving him as much defensive responsibility, possibly, might be the thinking there.
He's definitely better going forward than he is defensively, I think.
Yeah, I think he made a couple of decent sort of recovery runs back. He's very athletic, very quick, and he can. I think I saw the video for the winning goal. He made a good overlapping run. I think it was him on the left-hand side for that. So yeah, he is a decent option, and looked a little bit better in the second half yesterday than he did for some of the other games recently. So it's not a massive, it'd be a massive surprise. And then obviously I think in the wingers in general just haven't, none of them can complain about being dropped, basically. McCleary has dropped out the whole squad, having started on Saturday, by all accounts didn't have a great game. Luko has played a bit on the wing, played number 10, wasn't great again last night. Barrow hasn't really done enough. I'd always have him in the team just because I think he's the one who always looks like the most likely, the most dangerous. He's got the pace on the break, and that's why I keep picking him in the team, but I don't think his performances really merit it particularly. And I think Mate was good on the wing yesterday, so that's why I'd go with him. I would say when he came on the second half, Reading was so poor in the first half, he came on and just suddenly, I think straight away, won a corner and had a header and just looked really up for it. So I think he looks like someone who feels like he's got a little bit of point to prove. Obviously, he's been knocked out of his position by Oliveira, and the only place he's going to really probably start is on the wing now. So yeah, I think that could be an option for him. But like I say, I don't think any of them really have nailed down that place, which is a real shame when you look at the quality at the start of the season we thought we had on the wings.
Barrow's an interesting one, really, because obviously he had a fantastic... Well, I mean, all things considered, really, I think Barrow had quite a good season last year. I think he was one of our top scorers behind Bodvarsson, but only got one goal so far this season. But I would agree with you in the fact that he's probably the most naturally talented player. He's got that pace that... I think probably faster than a lot of the wingers. So he definitely looks like creating something a lot of the time, but you know, more often than not, it unfortunately doesn't come off. But I think, you know, obviously we seem to mention it on virtually every show, and it's been talked a lot amongst the fan base. But there, you know, there is a real sort of lack of inspiration and bite in that middle of the park at the moment. I think that was made even more evident by Rinomota's absence on Wednesday. I mean, Liam Kelly, who started for the first time under Jose Gomez, had a fairly poor game. Lewis Baker was all right when he came on, but he wasn't great. I mean, I think he gave the ball away a few seconds before Reading's winning goal, so he probably had quite a lot to thank Oliveira for. And obviously, John Swift got the goal and the assist for Oliveira's goal, but I think actually, on the whole, he was fairly poor. Whether that's being harsh, I'm not too sure, but I think other than those two sort of moments, he wasn't great. I mean, you've gone with Baker, Swift and Ejaria as your central midfielders for this one, Tom. Are those sort of the three sort of best of a fairly average bunch at the moment?
If Morimoto's out for a while, it is a real worry, because I don't really know if he's sort of out for 4 to 6 weeks. You look at it and the games we've got coming up, and it's going to have to be those guys. Satellite's not fit enough to come back into the team. He would be a sort of a decent replacement of physical presence in there. But yeah, like you say, Kelly got his chance in the first half yesterday. He was really poor. Kind of surprised to see him carry on, but he did improve in the second half, in fairness. So he just seemed to be getting so bullied off the ball so often against Blackburn. But yeah, I think we've seen a lineup of Swift and Kelly central midfield has been something that's been a problem for so long. So to revert back to it was a bit of a concern. And if Remota's out, it's obviously you've lost Bakuna as well. Even David Marley you've let go. So that's sort of defensively minded, physical player in midfield. And you're left with creative players who maybe want to go forwards rather than backwards most of the time, which when you've got maybe two or three of them all together, it's perhaps a bit of an issue. I think Ajaria showed he can drop in there and make tackles and put himself about a bit in the second half. He was interesting. He was the one who got dropped back in there and Swift got moved forward in the second half. So that's possibly an option. But like you say, there is still a bit of a problem in the centre of midfield, especially if Renamota is out. You look at it and the options, suddenly you don't really have too many and they're all kind of similar sort of players as well. So yeah, it's far from ideal and it's something that I think will be certainly addressed in the summer. Whoever is in charge of the looking for the transfers, I'm sure they're looking at central midfielders because, yeah, obviously two of those guys are only on loan anyway, so there's a bit of a problem in there longer term as well.
We'll end the discussion on the team on a bit more of a positive note, cause, you know, because it is worth mentioning that the probably three of the first names on the team sheet at the moment are three January signings in the shape of Emiliano Martinez, Matt Miazga, and Nelson Oliver. I mean, we certainly wouldn't have picked up the points we have in the last few games without those three. I mean, I think that's a credit really to Jose Gomez and whoever else was responsible for bringing them in, because I think those three really have given us a bit of hope for this season.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I said it on here, but when Martinez and Oliveira came in, when those two names arrived, that suddenly gave me a lot of confidence that Reading would have enough to stay up. I think they're considerably better than what Reading had already, and I think they've shown that. Obviously it's a bit of a footballing crime really that Oliveira hasn't played any football all season. He's been stuck out of the picture at Norwich and just with obviously not playing at all. So to get him in, it was maybe a little concern how up to speed he would be, but he's come in as if he's been playing all season. He hasn't looked out of shape at all, really. Obviously, a couple of cramps here and there. I think he hasn't obviously completed a game yet, I don't think, but to battle back as he did to play on Wednesday night and play the sort of 89, 90 minutes, it was, he's like, say, first name on the team sheet and always looks like scoring goal, even in that first half when there was nothing going on. He tried to lob from 40 yards, which went pretty close, and he was sort of running around in his own most of the time. But yeah, at the other end, Martinez as well made some brilliant saves, and his distribution with his feet, catching from crosses, he's been pretty unflappable so far. So that's another big plus, obviously, especially the fact that Yukola's now injured as well, so they would have lost him as well. So big boost there. And Miazga, again, as when Ilori went, you're looking at a bit of a gap in the centre-back, and you bring in Miazga, who hasn't really played too much in English football, and he comes in and fits in nicely as well. So when I first saw him against Villa, he reminded me a little bit of John O'Shea, actually, and he's just no-nonsense, wins headers, passes the ball out, so composed and on the ball, and wins most of his duels as well. So it's a really good balance, I think, with him and Liam Moore. Looks like a good partnership developing, and with Martins or Oliveira at either end of the pitch, it's some really good work done by the recruitment team, players who I think Reading have been linked with plenty of times before, and to bring him in now, along with obviously Baker as well, it's and Ajaria, they've done really well, and it seems like they can keep all these guys fit. It should be enough to keep them up, I think, now.
I think one of the main worries, or one of the worries, when you bring loan signings in, is that they don't quite feel as committed to the cause as they would do if they were permanent signings. But I mean, I have to admit, I think both, you know, you saw the passion from both Miazga and from Martinez at the final whistle last night. It was also great to hear that Gomez said that Oliveira wanted to play against Sheffield Wednesday, but said he couldn't by the doctors. So, but I think all three of them have added undoubted quality to this side, and it's great to see, you know, that they are very much, you know, committed to trying to keep Reading up. And I think obviously Martinez, it's highly unlikely we'll get him in the summer. I think he's been lined up as Arsenal's number two when Petr Cech retires, but Nelson Oliveira is probably the most likely one we might get. I think that would be fantastic, because I think it's when you see Oliveira that you notice, you know, just quite how much better he is than the other striking options we have at the moment. And Matt Miazga is probably a difficult one. I can't really see us signing him, considering Chelsea's sort of policy of continually loaning out players. But you know, he's been a fantastic addition as well. Prediction time then, Tom. I thought I was going to get a second result right in a row when it was 1-1 on Wednesday night, having predicted that. But of course, more than delighted that Reading got the win in the end. I think you went for a third 0-0 in a row, but what about this weekend?
I feel a little bit hard done by in the last week. I said they'd get 4 points and I ended up getting no scores right because I got them the wrong way around. But I think I'm going to have to go for a defeat, sadly. Sheffield United, like I say, they're a good side at home. They're up in third in the league for a reason. So I think I'm going to say 2-0 to Sheffield United, but I don't think that'll be a massive disaster. I think this time next week is when we're looking at the real crux of the season. But yeah, I'm going to go for 2-0 to Sheffield United on Saturday.
Yeah, I think unfortunately it's not the fixture Reading would have wanted this weekend, as they once again tried to get back-to-back wins for the first time in over a year. And obviously Wednesday night's win will have given them confidence. But as you say, I think Sheffield United are just a very, very good team. I'm also going to say a 2-0 win. I had that written down before you said that, so I'm not trying to copy, but I think Norwich Bears, as I say, I think it is unfortunate, because I think some momentum would have been nice going into what is three huge games coming up against Rotherham, Ipswich and Wigan.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose you've got to get these tough games out of the way at some point, and that they're in a decent patch of form, so they can go there and maybe try and stay in the game and grind out a draw like they have done in previous away games. So yeah, they've got to get them done at some point. In the Like I say, the games in the Championship are always so tight anyway. The Sheffield United are going to be under real pressure to win that as a home game against a team at the bottom of the league. So maybe that could play into Reading's hand a little bit. But yeah, like I say, it's going to be three massive games in a row. I'm sure everyone's fully aware of it. And if they can go up to Sheffield United and, like you say, earlier, just put on a decent performance, come back with some sort of credit, and then I think that's a full week then, isn't it, until the following three games. And that'll be when I think the season's basically, that's make or break for the season at that point. So yeah, I think go up there this weekend and who knows, maybe grab a point. And I think it's that same time when they got back-to-back wins is when they last went five unbeaten as well, that sort of time. So it's been well over a year since they've managed that sort of feat. So it'd be a pretty impressive thing to do it up at Bramall Lane. But yeah, I think it'll probably just be one step too far at the moment, given the way the team is.
Yeah, that Rotherham game for me is the big one. And I think obviously, you know, it's come around incredibly quickly. But it is indeed the weekend after this one. So that's what our focus will be on the show this time next week. Before that, though, Mark will be back with the main show earlier on next week to look back on a Sheffield United game. So look out for that one as well in your podcast feeds on the website. TheTileHurstEnd.com will have full coverage of the clash at Bramall Lane, including a full report on ratings. On a similar note, Tom, what can we look forward to reading on the working paper in the next few days?
Yeah, so obviously the report and reaction, everything from Wednesday night is up there now, and then it's an away game at Sheffield on Saturday, and then the women are back at home at Bedeski Stadium actually next Wednesday. I'll be at that one, so that'll be up on the website as well, workingonpaper.com, and I'll cover that one on Twitter at Tom J. Crocker.
A big win for the women in the Women's FA Cup, wasn't it, last week? Was it 13-0, I think?
13-0, yeah, against the non-league side. Yeah, they've got Birmingham this weekend, which will be a lot tougher before playing West Ham at Bedeski Stadium in the league on Wednesday night, 7:30. I think it's free or pretty cheap for season ticket holders for that one, so check that out if you can get over there.
Confidence boosting, if nothing else, that 13-0 win. I'd certainly take a 13-0 win for the men's team, but I'm not sure if we've ever won 13-0, but... yeah, I think that would be hugely appreciated. But make sure you go and check all of that out then on theworkinginpaper.com. And also, as Tom mentioned, if you can get down to the Maleski Stadium and to watch the women play West Ham, please do go and do so. All that for me to then say, Tom, is thank you very much for joining me on the Tyler Stern Weekend Preview this week.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure this time following a win. Thank you very much. Cheers.
We've not had many wins to talk about at all. I think, as I said at the top of the show, two wins in 16. So it's been pretty depressing to talk about, but a rather uplifting show. And for once, hopefully that continues for many, many weeks to come. But I'm not holding my breath. But it's a big thank you as well to you at home for listening. Hopefully it's been a more pleasurable listen as well. But have a safe journey up to Bramall Lane if you are going up to Sheffield this weekend. And come on, you ours.
The Tilehurst End Podcast, by Reading fans, for Reading fans.